Thank you very much, Dani, for the introduction. So my name is Raúl Gracia Tinedo from Universidad Rovira Virgili in Spain. I'm going to present this work entitled Crystal, Software-Defined Storage for Multi-Tenant Object Stores. And this work has been done in collaboration with IBM Research in Haifa. So let me start this talk with an analogy. So in a forest, when the weather is good, all the trees enjoy. However, weather conditions may change dramatically, and when the storm comes, then some trees get through the storm better than others. And one of the key properties for trees to survive in a storm is being flexible. So the key idea of this work is to make object stores flexible for adapting the system to changing requirements. We believe that what flexibility means for a palm tree, it can be translated into programmability, extensibility, automation, and control in an object store. And these are the properties that this work tries to achieve in an object store via software-defined storage. So let's start with a possible introduction or definition of software-defined storage. Despite there is not much consensus about the SDS term, a possible definition can be that SDS is a form of storage management software that provides policy-based provisioning and management facilities independent of the underlying hardware. What seems clearer is that SDS has benefits to the system in terms of automation, management, and optimization opportunities. And for this reason, its popularity has grown in the recent years. So as the same principle of SDS, as the same principle, SDS systems decouple control and data planes. At the control plane, we have the definition of policies and the intelligent and algorithms that will orchestrate the system. At the data plane is where policies are enforced, and this requires mechanism to intercept and manage data flows. There has been some systems in the literature. One of the first one is IOFlow. Which separated the control and data place in order to translate policies into queuing mechanisms to achieve bandwidth control, in particular in a file system. There are other works like Retro, very interesting. It's a system focused on enforcing policies, resource management policies in multi-tenant scenarios to achieve latency and bandwidth SLOs. And also SRoot, which can be seen as an evolution of IOFlow, providing a network-level approach to manage the storage flows and route those flows through S-switches. But unfortunately, to the best of our knowledge, there are no SDS systems to cope with the particularities of object stores like OpenStack Swift. So in this sense, Swift already provides policy-based redundancy models, so you can configure rings with different types of redundancy. And there are companies like SwiftStack that sell automation and provisioning and advanced services on top of Swift. But the question here is if we can go a step further and why. So the problem that we want to attack here is advanced storage management in object stores. So let me show an example. Imagine that there are two tenants, and one tenant is storing compressible data, and the other tenant is storing uncompressible data. So the question here is, could we enforce data compression only on tenant one's request? So the answer to this question is no, or at least without modifying the code of Swift. But, let me show another example. Imagine that we have two tenants again, like analytics application or something like this, and they are retrieving data from the system. The question here, again, is if we can enforce service-level objectives on those tenants to achieve, for instance, a minimum aggregated bandwidth on them. The answer, again, is no, or at least not without modifying the code of Swift. So this means that the system is too rigid to adapt to new requirements. So here's where Crystal comes into play. So Crystal is an SDS framework to solve data management problems in object stores. and in particular in OpenStack Swift. And according to the principles of SDS, Crystal decouples control and data planes. At the data plane, it provides two abstractions, filters and triggers. And at the control plane, it provides another two abstractions, policies and controllers. Next, I'm going to explain these concepts in detail. A filter in Crystal can be defined as a data transformation executed on an object request. So this concept is broad enough to encompass compression, caching, encryption, and other types of functionalities that an administrator wants to add to the system. So filters can exploit the semantics of object stores so they can be executed on particular data objects. Crystal provides a filter framework that takes care of deploying filter binaries and execute them on object requests, and even controlling where filters are executed, for example, at the proxy or at the storage node stages. We offer actually two types of filters in Crystal. One is the isolated filters that are executed within Docker containers with OpenStack storelets. And we also offer what we call native filters, which are more flexible than storelets, but they do not offer isolated execution. And an important feature is that the framework of this framework is that filters can be deployed on runtime. So this means that we can add new functionalities to the object store on runtime. Also in the data plane, we find inspection triggers, which basically represent sources of information of the system that can trigger the execution of filters. We have two types of two information sources. One is object metadata, so we can execute a filter based on the metadata of objects. And also we have workload metrics, which basically represent runtime information about the workload, for example. For workload metrics, we provide a framework that enables practitioners to inject code that record a particular metric, information. The framework takes care of publishing this information to the messaging service. And in addition to that, for example, here in this example, we can deploy a piece of code that is publishing the number of puts per second in the system. And in addition to that, per each workload metric, we have a process that is in charge of aggregating the monitoring information from the data plane and expose this information to the control plane. And similarly to filters, workload metrics are pluggable at runtime. So at the control plane, we have controllers. Controllers are basically algorithms that receive input from workload metrics to orchestrate the execution of filters. We built in Crystal a layer of distributed controllers, so there is no single centralized controller, that can communicate with workload metrics in a publish-subscribe fashion. And actually, there are two types of controllers. We find automation controllers that basically are self-generated by the system and embed simple activation rules defined by policies. And we have also global controllers that contain complex algorithms and have global visibility of the system to achieve service level objectives. And finally, at the control plane, we have the Crystal DSL, which is basically the mechanism that administrators have to define services in Crystal. So the DSL structure can capture different types of policies, like storage automation or the definition of service level objectives. More details of the structure of the DSL can be found in the paper, of course. But one of the interesting things of the DSL is that the vocabulary of the DSL can be extended on runtime. So we can add on runtime new keywords representing new filters that has been deployed. Or we can also add new keywords representing new triggers like metrics that has been deployed in the system. So let's go to some experimental results. The setup that we use to demonstrate the framework is a three nodes cluster in Universitat Rovira Virgili facilities. There is one controller that is executing the metadata service controllers and messaging service and so on. Three nodes that compute nodes that execute the workloads, and then the Swift cluster is composed by nine nodes, two Swift proxies, and seven storage nodes. And they are connected via 1 gigabit Ethernet, and they run OpenStack Kilo version. So the first experiment that we that I am going to explain, there are more experiments in the paper, of course. The first experiment aims at demonstrating the storage automation capabilities of Crystal. So imagine that we want to define a policy like the one above for container C1. When the number of gets per second is higher than 5, then do set caching in the proxy. So imagine to this end, the first thing that we need is to deploy the workload metric that reports the number of gets per second supported by the system. So this is done via the Crystal API, and this is automatically deployed in the system. Then the administrator has to develop a caching filter to be deployed at the proxy. So this is also the piece of code, or the binaries, are submitted to the system and deployed with the filter framework. Then the administrator submits the policy, basically writing a policy in a dashboard, for example. And the system automatically creates an storage automation controllers that is basically taking care of the number of gets per second that are being supported in the system. So here in the bottom left corner, we see the workload. So at the beginning, the workload is low. So there are less than 5 gets per second. So what happens is that a new put in container C1 is not cached, because the condition is not being met. However, now the workload is higher, and there are more than 5 gets per second. At this point, the storage automation controller realizes of this event and basically sets in the metadata store that caching should be enforced on container C1. The next put request is cached in the proxy, because now the caching filters is working. And now we have the object in the proxy cache in order to exploit data locality. So we basically executed an experiment doing the same process as the one that I just explained. So we executed an experiment in the gray area in the figure below represents a synthetic oscillatory workload with high data locality. So we also developed a simple LRU caching filter to exploit SSDs at the proxies. And we deployed it via the Crystal API. And as we can observe in the horizontal lines that represent the latency of operations, the regions with caching, which are in black, are in median 30% faster than the regions in dark gray, where caching was not activated in the system. We can also see that writes in red are not really affected by the execution of the caching filter. So this is an example of how our framework can offer dynamic storage automation capabilities. And the second experiment demonstrates policies enforcing service level objectives. So imagine that we have this policy for tenant T1 to set bandwidth. Basically, we want to ensure 30 megabytes of get bandwidth to tenant 1. And we want to execute the bandwidth filter on the storage nodes. So to this end, the first thing to do is, from an administrator perspective, is to deploy a workload metric reporting the get bandwidth consumed at the storage nodes. And then we need to deploy also a storage filter that can throttle streams related to object requests, also at the storage nodes. And we also do this through the Crystal API. And finally, the administrator should deploy a global controller that takes into account the monitoring information from GET requests in order to orchestrate the data plane in order to achieve the SLOs. So as we can see, once the policy is submitted to the system, the Crystal API is basically setting this objective in the metadata store. And the global controller is intended to get the objectives and orchestrate the filters at the storage nodes to achieve the aggregated bandwidth objective. So we executed a similar experiment to test our framework. So in this experiment, we have three tenants, each one represented by an independent node executing an SSBench workload, basically executing GET requests and trying to get as much as bandwidth as possible. And moreover, during the experiment, Swift was executing replication tasks on already stored data, which impacts on performance. So again, we did all the process of developing the filter and writing a distributed a global controller with a bandwidth differentiation algorithm. And the details of this can be found in the paper. But actually, we deployed for these experiments two controllers, one for throttling GET bandwidth and another one for throttling replication bandwidth. As we can see in the graph, during the first 60 seconds of experiment, the bandwidth of tenants, there is no control on the bandwidth of tenants, as no SLOs are, there are no objectives defined. But then at that point, after 60 seconds, we define the objectives to be achieved in the different tenants. But the replication bandwidth make it very hard to achieve the objective. So until we activated the second controller that is basically throttling the replication bandwidth, the objectives on the GET bandwidth were not achieved. But And the conclusion that we draw here is that Crystal enables or is a practical substrate to build algorithms and filters that target service level objectives. So let me conclude this talk. So many object stores are hard to adapt to new requirements. And we presented Crystal, which is the first SDS architecture specifically tailored for object stores like OpenStack Swift. Crystal has separates control and data planes. At the control plane, there are policies, which are if this, then that, like policies, and controllers, which are distributed algorithms taking care of orchestrating filters at the data plane. And at the data plane, we have filters, which are which perform computations on object requests, and triggers, which basically are the events that initiate the execution of filters. We demonstrated the extensibility of Crystal with new automation, storage automation policies, with compression, caching, and so on, and even with a global bandwidth filter. So the framework opens the door to integrate, to investigate new storage filters and control algorithms in these systems. So that's it. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Howen from University of Minnesota. So very, very appreciate your work. It's a nice talk.
Thank you.
So I mainly have two questions. The first question is, what's the granularity of your control? Just like SDN, the controller plays a role actually on the first packet of the flow, and it controls on a granularity of control, on a flow. So in your work, what's your granularity?
Okay. You can enforce policies either at tenant granularity. You are basically, I introduce and then So you can enforce policies at the tenant granularity, mm-hmm. at the container granularity, and even at the object granularity, okay? So, but your question is related specifically to the bandwidth filter. So you are asking about the granularity of the filters is object. So you can basically execute a filter at the object granularity. So once a policy is activated, the filter gets a stream which represents a single object and executes the filter on this particular object. So I think that the granularity is the object.
Object. So object. Once you apply a policy, then the policy will exist to this object, will stick to this object. Do you mean that?
Mm.
And it will exist till the maybe your tenants finish the work?
It depends. You as an administrator, you can do whatever you want. I mean, for example, you can write a policy for tenant one, mm-hmm. Do set compression. Mm-hmm. This means that meanwhile the policy is in the metadata store, all the put requests for this tenant will be compressed. Mm-hmm. So, and will be stored compressed. Uh-huh. And then if you remove the policy, mm-hmm. then compression is not executed on new requests.
All right.
Okay.
And the second question is, how adaptive is your control? Because it seems your system is able to adapt to the system status change, right? And what if the status of the system keeps oscillating? For example, in your example, is you make a 5 seconds as an example. What if your system suddenly jumps above 5 seconds and later on, let's say one second later, it drops below 5 seconds?
Okay, you mean
the
granularity of the monitoring and the control loop. So this is, at the moment, the experiments that I have shown here are with a granularity of 1 second. This can be good or this can be bad. It depends. It's something that is configurable. And also is a trade-off. So more monitoring information, it can enable you to do more fine-grained decisions on when to execute a policy or how to execute it. But at the same time, you are introducing more monitoring overhead in the system if you are publishing more events. And yeah, you can be, I don't know if it's what you were referring to, you can be in situations where you execute, for example, you are in a workload peak and then execute this filter and then it is deactivated, and this can happen, of course. And it's the responsibility of the administrator to know which are the rules that, depending on your workload, will benefit to the system or to the tenant.
And the administrator makes the decision, I mean, create a policy based on the SLO. Do you mean that?
Yeah, at the moment, the perspective of the design of Crystal is an administrator tool. Yeah. So the administrator wants to have control of a cluster, and he's the one intended to satisfy the requirements of tenants.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.